100 KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us in our studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Kersey.
Good morning, David.
We're going to talk about something that I love to talk about. You know I love to talk about it. National Geographic this month published an article by writer Connie Chang that stated cancer, aging, and severe COVID-19 have all been linked to damage from inflammation. Now, scientists are flipping their focus to find new drugs that may revolutionize treatment. This morning, we put this question to you, Dr. Kersey. Is chiropractic a means to the end of inflammation? That's the topic of our first conversation. What is chiropractic's approach to disease?
Chiropractic's approach to disease or dis-ease is not an approach to disease. I don't think it's an approach. It's trying to normalize the nervous system. It's trying to get the body to adapt to the environment. It is trying to coordinate all the systems. It is trying to prevent disease. It is trying to prevent dis-ease, lack of ease. It is trying to prevent all the processes that would head towards a disease state. So our approach on disease would be, if you have a disease, and it doesn't have you, if you have a disease, let's allow the body to adapt to whatever the body has at that point and allow the body better functioning during your disease process. And if you are under chiropractic care and you are functioning on and have a functioning nervous system that is more optimal without chiropractic care, mm-hmm. and you are doing more things right, you're sleeping well, eating well, thinking well, doing all the things that you need to do, then we're going to prevent disease. So as far as our approach on disease, my approach on disease is let's try to prevent it. And let's not try to treat a disease. Let's not try to just say, okay, you have this and we're going to work on this. That would be my take on disease. As far as what you said earlier, there's a new drug. So we're still not thinking correctly. We're still not thinking, okay, what can we do to our internal environment to build up our internal resistance and try to make ourselves better? Let's rely on another drug. So that disturbs me, but you know, we're going to come up with another disease. What about doing an anti-inflammatory diet? What about doing things that are going to correct your internal environment besides having to drug it? So it's another drug.
You already bring up my next question. When you hear someone say, well, I was put on a drug for inflammation, what is usually your first response as a chiropractor?
It's just, we talk about the house burning down. Our poor friend, patient had a house burned down in Wasilla. It took like half hour from a gas leak, just burnt down. Terrible. But if we think about smoke detectors, we have smoke detectors for a reason. And if you hear a smoke detector out in the middle of the night, you don't get up, take down the smoke detector, take out the batteries, and go back to bed. You try to find out where that smoke is coming from and not just ignore the signs and symptoms. So if we have inflammation, where is it coming from? What is the cause of the inflammation? What is the cause of the process making that inflammation happen? And let's get to the cause of the problem and try to remove the cause instead of just ignoring the symptoms and just drugging it and masking it and trying to make it, oh, well, I have inflammation, so I'm going to decrease it this way. Well, why? Why do you have inflammation? The big why. Everybody's on their why.
Right.
What's your why? I'll tell you what your why is. Your why is you want to live a healthier, fuller life, and that should be your why, and that's what we need to work on. And why did that inflammation come about?
There are drugs that tamp down inflammation. We know that. Can those cures, and from what you know of their side effects, ever make the patient feel worse than the disease?
There are. Look at the TV commercials, Dave. We got if you have this, then you have to take this, and this is your side effect. The side effects are so long on any drug. Every drug has a side effect. We know that. So what are your side effects of that drug? We know that the statin drugs, they have the worst side effects of any drug, and yet it's no big deal. You have high cholesterol. Let's take some drugs. Let's get rid of that. Why do you have high cholesterol? Is high cholesterol killing you? My grandmother's 103. She's got high cholesterol. She's not on any drugs. Is it killing her? No. So we have to figure out what the process is. What is really going on with the body? Do you need to have drugs for certain illnesses or diseases? Some do, and I'll tell you, there's people out there that are relying on drugs to keep them alive, which is fantastic. I'm not saying that for every drug, but there's a side effect to every drug. But I'm saying in the normal processes, if you're just masking symptoms and trying to get rid of little effects like inflammation, I think we're going about it the wrong way.
What is your take on immunosuppressants and the ability that they perform?
Oh, immunosuppressants. Why are we suppressing the immune system?
I don't know.
Well, so it's again, we have to look at the cause of why we're doing things. And if we come back to the cause of any drug, any outside influence, health doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside. And if we go back to the inside, we have to figure out what we're doing right and try to prevent those problems. And it's not my lifestyle. It's not my chiropractic lifestyle. It's not your chiropractic lifestyle. You're not drugging everything.
No.
And some people, well, I had to take a couple of ibuprofen this morning because I woke up and was sore. No. Why do that? Why have to do that? Why try to? And we know that ibuprofen, if you Google ibuprofen and healing time, it says, well, prolongs healing. Because it's not letting the body do what it's meant to do and heal. So we have to figure out why. So if we're getting on immunosuppressants, okay, I'm not a big, huge scholar in immunosuppressants because I don't deal with them on a regular basis. But so I'd say let's get to the cause of the problem.
Let's talk about what the body is supposed to do. What function does inflammation serve in the human body?
Oh, you love inflammation. Why do you love inflammation so much?
Oh, I've been dealing with it my whole life.
Well, okay, so when we originally have an injury, inflammation is part of the healing process. And that is Ruber Keller Dolor Functionalacia. That's part of what happens. And that's good. And the body will rid the body of toxins and the body will inflame and it will do its job. Mm-hmm. And long-standing inflammation we know is not good. We know that can lead to heart disease and cancers and everything else. So we have to be careful and say, well, I have inflammation. I've had this inflammatory process going on in my body for so long that now we've gone down a path that we have other problems. I would say in the initial stages of inflammation, okay, let's deal with that. And then let's figure out what we could do to help the body not be inflamed, whether that's a diet or whether that's lack of exercise or sedentary lifestyle or toxins in your body or drugs in your body. So we have to figure out what that inflammation is caused by. I really do think it all gets back to the cause. And we have to be, doctor of chiropractic, DC, doctor of cause. And that's what we want. We want to find the cause of the inflammation. And how long has it been there? How much momentum of that inflammation do you have? You've had it for, what, you're 29, 30?
Yes, sir.
So you've had it for several years. And we got some talking to do today, don't we? we have a little Dave episode. I think that if we get to the cause of that problem, we're going to find some reasons why you have the inflammation going on.
How does inflammation rid our bodies of things like things that don't belong there, those foreign invaders? Like bacteria, viruses, and tumor cells.
That's why we have our immune system. That's why we have the organs and tissues that do their job, the lymphocytes, everything that comes in, the macrophages, everything that comes in and takes over and tries to get rid of disease processes. That is what they're doing. You have a response to the body. So it should be an initial response to healing. And then, again, longstanding, not good, but that's what the body does. We know it's doing that every day. It's always fighting. It's always working to get better. I think we talked about that yesterday. It's always working to be good, and it's not just saying, oh well, we got some stuff over there, let's ignore it. No, your body's got to start the fire and try to put it out. Fever. Why do you have a fever? Your body's burning it off. And people are, oh, I had a fever of 99. I had to give him some Tylenol. Okay, no, but it's not even a fever until it reaches 102, and then once it gets to 104, okay, now we're getting scared. Now we got to figure out really what's going on.
Right.
But that's your body's flames, inflammatory flames, trying to put some stuff out, man. So if there's an opportunistic organism trying to take over, your body will respond. And that is part of the process of healing.
When does inflammation turn dangerous?
Ooh, that's a great question. I have no idea.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I think that... I don't have a time on that one, but I think after the initial responses of the body, I think when we are not healthy within and that inflammation just continues, then there's a problem. I mean, if we talk about the gastrointestinal system, if there's longstanding problems there, we're going to have other problems. And we know that gut health is very, very important. We all talk about gut health and how important a gut should be. And if you have an inflamed gut, that's not good.
That's not good.
And it's not good. I have gut problems. I've had gut problems for years, and I do what I can to make sure that my gut problems are at a minimal. And adjustments help, and they really do. My first patient was back in 95, had a bland diet and heartburn and indigestion and inflammation. And he came in with mid back pain. One adjustment, he said, I'm gonna test you. He ate snapper soup that night, super spicy, no problems, and he did very, very well. It was a problem. His inflammation was coming from his mid back. So there are reasons. So when does it start getting dangerous? When it starts, the processes and other organs and organ systems have to adapt to that, and that's because your body's always gonna do everything to benefit the whole.
As inflammation turns chronic, why would the price of our bodies have to pay be in worn joints, rheumatoid arthritis, and pain?
So then we got the arthritis. If you want to talk about inflammation, so arthritis, you bring up the word arthritis. What is arthritis? It's the inflammation of a joint. It's an itis of the joint. And does that arthritis, it's arthritis in the beginning, but then it turns into an arthrosis because it's like everybody says, I got the plantar fasciitis. They say fasciitis. I don't like that word. I think it's wrong. I'm going to fight on that one, just like daylight saving times. I like to fight on that too. But it turns to a fasciosis, and it's a long-standing, it turns into an osis versus an itis. But the itis, arthritis, people say, oh, I have arthritis, you can't do anything about that. That's not true. Let's get the normalcy back to the joint movement and get the inflammation out of the joints and allow them to function properly and stop the inflammatory process of the joints because it had aberrant motion, because you had a trauma or a micro-trauma upon micro-trauma that led to a trauma. But arthritis in the joints, that kind of inflammation we could talk about all day, because when I think you think about inflammation, I think you think about an entire systemic system of inflammation. And you're right, when I think about inflammation, I think about arthritis, degenerative joint disease, degenerative disc disease. They're all itises that can be long-term. And when that starts to go bad, then you start to have the body's responses of laying down bone and creating spurs and stopping the mobility of the joints. So our job is to get in there and get the mobility back into the joint, and get the proper motion back into the joint so that inflammation is gone from the joint.
I was going to ask you, how does chiropractic dampen inflammation's onset? Was that the answer?
I like that answer. I'll go with that answer. Okay. And that's, if we're talking itises of the spine and other joints,
right.
We have the scap. If you take your thumb and extend your thumb back towards your forearm, and you have those little ligaments that come out and make that little kind of hole right there, it's called the anatomical snuff box.
Really?
Yes, right there. If you do that, you extend your thumb back towards your watch there, and you see those two little, the extensor pollicis brevis and longus, and that's the anatomical snuff box. That little bone in there, the scaphoid bone, is super important. We're the first one with opposable thumbs, right? So we're doing a lot of texting, and we see a lot of thumb soreness. I'll adjust your thumbs, your scaphoid bones, so they don't have long-standing joint problems, because when you're a little older, try to adjust somebody who's very old with their scaphoid. Mm-hmm. That thing hasn't been working for years, and it's super inflamed. So we try to limit that problem later on by getting the joint motion into the scaphoid.
I did not know that.
That's my little extra I do for people, just to make sure, because we're texting and we're using our thumbs all the time, and that inflammation builds up, and then you get soreness in your thumbs, and you're thinking, my hands, I can't grip anymore, I can't do, I'm inflamed. What will that turn into? I think it's arthritis. It will be. It's inflamed, but now it's going to be an arthritis, but then it's going to turn into an arthrosis. Then you're going to have a stuck joint forever, and then you're going to have decreased mobility of your joint. I went all the way to a thumb on your.
What? That's okay, because that's very timely, because there's a new study out that shows that older people are dying at a faster rate because of the lack of grip strength, and they're falling more they cannot hold on to things as they get older.
Come on.
Yeah, brand new study out.
Where'd you see that?
I saw that on Axios the other day.
Axios?
Yeah.
How about that? I'm ahead of my time,
yes,
David.
Yes, you are.
I'm out there removing subluxations of scaphoids because I want people to live longer because of grip strength. That's wild.
Isn't that something?
You are amazing.
If chronic inflammation is caused by an imbalance in the immune system, where would chiropractic first begin to restore the proper balance of the immune system?
Great question. I think by restoring the normal balance of the nervous system, we will restore balance of the inflammatory processes. I believe that with all my heart that when we have a properly working nervous system, everything is going to try to adapt better and coordinate better, and we are going to see less inflammation because the body's able to coordinate its systems, if that makes any sense at all. So as far as inflammation goes, why is there inflammation? What is the cause? Can chiropractic help? Can we restore normal joint motion? Can we get the processes of the body working? If your mid-back isn't working well and you have subluxation there, it's not getting the proper nerve supply to the stomach, we're going to have inflammation in the stomach, then we're going to have long-standing problems, then the other organ systems are going to try to adapt to that, and then we're going to have an entire inflammatory process because of compensation of one joint in the back that happened to be misaligned that you didn't take care of, and then it led to other problems. It really can go back to being that simple of a problem.
When you as a chiropractor are trying to stop inflammation or arrest it or minimize it, what is it that you are trying to return within us to its normal state?
The homeostasis of the body.
Okay.
I think we are trying to get back to that normal. We're always trying to find that balance, and we're always trying to figure out what we have to do to get there. And we will look at other things. We will look at diet and exercise and sleep, and we will figure out what we need to do to help you decrease your inflammation. My job, again, is to remove interference and educate the patient on what we need to do properly. So, and I won't just say I'm treating inflammation. I will adjust cause, but I will not treat inflammation, disease, or other things, as we don't treat. We adjust, we prevent, we correct. But I don't like the word treat as far as that, but I understand what you're saying.
We're going to come back to the anti-inflammatory diet in just a moment. What is your opinion on prescription antibiotics?
Oh, what are they for? Do we have a pneumonia, a bacterial pneumonia? Maybe we should take some antibiotics for that. Maybe your system was decreased in resistance so much that we need to have some help here. If you have an ear infection, and we know that, 90-some percent of ear infections are viral, and you're getting an antibiotic for an ear infection as a child, and we know that one antibiotic upon another decreases the buildup of ear infections, and we have more and more ear infections, then we have tubes in our ears, then we have other problems later on, I'm not a fan. So I'm not going to say they're not all necessary, because I'm not a medical doctor prescribing medicine. I'm a chiropractor looking for cause. And if we could build up the resistance of those little kids by removing cause of problems, say in the atlas, then we've seen thousands of children, and we've seen them get better. So we know from clinical experience that it works. And so antibiotics in general, you better be doing it for the right reasons.
Does our immune system actually need to be left on its own to fight viruses or allergens? And if it's left on its own, does it grow stronger?
Yes. We know that natural immunity is better, right? We know that. Okay. And that just came. I think there was a Fauci or something, some guy that talks about things. And I saw the headline that he says now he went back and says natural immunity is better. Wow, that's neat. Maybe that's called science. Maybe that's called truth. Maybe that's what we really need to do. Does your body fight it better? Yes, you will build up on there. I took my vitamin D this morning. I took my curcum. I took some arginine and ornithine because I'm going to the gymnasium after this.
Well, you're a better man for it.
I'm going to pump up. But I take the things that are going to enhance that so my immune system can function better, so I can give it the necessary ingredients or supplements to supplement. What are supplements? What are vitamins and minerals? They're supplements to your diet that we need to function at our highest level. And that's what I think supplements should be for. We shouldn't be relying on medications or drugs or supplements only and say, well, I'm taking that stuff, so I should be fine. No, you're taking that stuff and you're going to the gym and working and you got a good sleep and you're thinking correctly and you're acting correctly, because it's not the thoughts, it's the actions.
Yeah. How well does chronic inflammation respond to lifestyle changes?
Oh, it does very well. We know we had a guy in there yesterday, and he'll probably comment on this, but he's like 6'7", and his blood pressure was absolutely absolutely ridiculous. It was like 190 over 110. And I said, dude, you need to change right now.
Yes.
And we offered him a program of diet. And within a week, his blood pressure was back to normal.
Oh, fantastic.
Normal. And this guy just lost 67 pounds. And yeah, right. And he is functioning. He just had his second child. He is doing very, very well. And he had that for a long time. That was chronic. That was a chronic condition. Did he have inflammation along with that high blood pressure? I'm sure. He adjusts better now. His body's in a different state, and it will respond. Your body, it's never too late to work on your health. Ever. And we know that prevention started yesterday, and we should have done it yesterday. Oh, I should have. Let's do it today. Let's take some action steps to get things moving forward in the right direction to decrease inflammation, increase nervous system health, and have a better, healthier life.
And what are we not eating enough of that would promote anti-inflammation?
The vegetables are good.
Are those,
I like vegetables.
Are those pretty good?
I don't eat enough vegetables. I should. You know, I was eating my big, huge salad last night. I had some
good
chicken breast and some salad, and I didn't have... I'm looking around. I'm like, where are my vegetables? I need more vegetables. So I have to go get more veggies. I think that's very important. You can do the carnivore diet. Apparently that decreases your... But that's eating everything from nose to tail and no vegetables and no sugars and no grains. That's a tough diet, but apparently... It's anti-inflammatory. But wow, can you imagine eating nothing but absolute animal products?
No. How important is the simple act of drinking water to reduce inflammation?
Is there water in this coffee?
I believe so. A little bit, because I made it this morning.
Okay.
This
so I think water is very important. I think we have to drink water on our right water. It's water. It's not water.
That's
water.
A New Jersey term,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's New Jersey water. So we want to drink water. We want to make sure that we're flushing the system. We want to make sure we're having enough. I think we drink more water now than we ever did in a society. I don't remember. As a kid, we never went anywhere on sport activities or anything with water bottles.
No,
we didn't do that. We just did, and then if we were thirsty, we drank. But now everything's drinking water. Can you drink too much? I heard the other day that somebody said, well, if you drink too much water, it decreases all the... It dilutes all your nutrients in your body. I don't know. I mean, come on, drink some water. You're not drinking 12 gallons. You're drinking a gallon of water a day, and that's good. I have my little Hydro Flask thingy there, and I'm drinking all day long, and I have my little water enhancer, like little electrolytes go in there and just give it a little flavor. It's not a no to aspartame stuff. I don't like that, but it's good. I mean, drink water.
Many of us have fallen into sedentary lifestyles over the last 25 months. Has this lack of movement created unwanted inflammation within us?
Lack of movementitis?
Yes.
Lack of movementitis. That, write that
now
down.
There's a term.
Lack of movementitis. It does. And we were talking to a patient that I only have pain when I sit for hours on end. Don't sit for hours on end. And it's really, really simple. Get up every 15 minutes, stretch, sit back down. We sit for what? This is like 22 minutes of sitting now. Yep. We should get up and move around a little bit. We're doing something different. So if you have to sit for an hour, you have to sit for an hour. Don't sit more than an hour. You really shouldn't. And because the more you sit, the more you're in a sedentary position, the less your body, and your posture is not going to be perfect after a while. Your body's going to start reacting to that. So we have to get up and move. Movement is the key to life. We want the spine to move correctly. We want your body to move correctly. We know that movement creates life.
Will the human body tell us when its own biomechanics are not working properly or at their optimum level?
So those things are called signs and symptoms.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So when you're not working properly, you'll see that. What was the first thing I did? Before we sat down, I was doing my little shoulder
rolls.
Yes,
you were. Right?
I was doing my little circles out here, and I was doing my other ones. Because before I get in there, I don't want to have shoulder pain when I'm sitting. I want to sit up straight. I want to do those things that are going to allow me to function better. So what was the question? Is it...
Will the human body tell us when it's
on biomechanics? Yeah, the signs and symptoms. So, and we know that we were talking to a guy yesterday who's 60-something years old, incredible guy. He's all about Tai Chi and different and karate and doing all these things. He's in incredible, incredible shape. And he was talking about posturing and how we see people with their forward posture and bent over. And we know that older people want to see, they don't want to fall, so they're bent over. But those little, those posturing will actually develop into problems. We know that when your head, it used to be, when your head went forward, we would say your head goes forward an inch, it's 10 more pounds of pressure on your low back because that's the fulcrum right there at the lumbosacral junction. So we go forward, and now you're not just leaning forward, your head is on your chest, your chin's on your chest because you're on your phone. Mm-hmm. So now we have the coupled text neck on top of the forward posture. So now we're dealing with all those other things. What do we see? We see headaches. We see heart problems. We see congestion and lung problems because your body's in a state of improper posture, which leads to dysfunction. So yes, you're going to see those things. Will you relate them to being adjusted? No. 8 to 10% of the population says, hey, I should make sure I'm adjusted. We're seeing more and more. This is what I've always wanted. We're seeing more and more patients come into the office with no pain. Just want to keep up on my nervous system, looking for optimum potential. They don't say looking for optimum potential, except for the one biker dude, bicyclist, he does. But we're seeing that. We're actually seeing a little bit of a swing of no pain, doing well, keeping up on my nervous system. They just say they're keeping away from their pain, but it's working towards an optimum potential.
In the early 2000s, researchers began to recognize the role of inflammation in conditions as varied as Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and even aging, which is driven by persistent inflammation you have before you. And the chiropractic profession, a myriad of ailments. Is chiropractic stepping up after 127 years to understand how it can impact inflammatory diseases?
I do. And I think we go back to the organ and organ systems and make sure they're working properly. But we've had that in our repertoire from early mm-hmm. on. And I think that inflammation is just another sign, symptom of internal damage and not getting that system back. And we want to prevent inflammation. We want to prevent long-standing inflammation by making sure that system is working properly. And, of course, there are chiropractors out there that do many things other than just adjust. And maybe they're schooled in anti-inflammatory diets. Maybe they really know what's going on with the metabolic syndrome and with diabetes and cholesterol and blood pressure and obesity, the metabolic syndrome. We can handle that.
What's the importance of regularly scheduled body maintenance when inflammation is reducing the quality of someone's life?
I think it should be of utmost importance. If you're not, if it's not part of that, then you're doing more things wrong, and then you're going to have the drugs to decrease the inflammation. So you really got to get on top of that and figure out what's going on. Are you inflamed? Or do you think you have inflammation? Oh, I'm dealing with something inflamed. Okay, maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just are having other problems that you don't realize. So I think it's super important to make sure that you understand what's really going on with your body. Maybe some blood tests. Blood tests are good. They're fun. And we got to see what your system is doing.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be back with Dr. Kersey after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, how specialized is chiropractic care in that it doesn't become an assembly line of spinal adjustments?
How specialized? So an assembly, you know what? An assembly line of spinal adjustments is great. I have no problems with an assembly line. If you're removing subluxation and you're, I watched videos of BJ Palmer, the developer mm-hmm. of chiropractic, and he would go down and he would adjust atlases. Boom, boom. He'd have the different listing of the different patient and he'd adjust, go down. An assembly line, great. Wonderful. Have an assembly line of an adjustment. You're there to remove subluxation.
Yes.
You're there. We understand your story. We understand your history. We understand what spinal problems you have, and we address specifically what areas we're going to adjust. If I could line up 1,000 people and go down and know which bones to adjust and just go down that, and I was a fantastic adjuster and I removed subluxation, great. I think that every patient that got adjusted will be better off because of that. Did they need to talk to me about that subluxation? Did they worry about it? Do you want to have a consultation and figure out what we need to do otherwise? Great, I'll do all that. But if we say, all right, just a number. Give me 1,000 patients to adjust today. I'll adjust them all and I'll go down. But as far as the assembly line, I don't have a problem with adjusting many people to we do things in different countries where they go and they adjust thousands of people in undeserved countries, and they don't even understand the language because they don't speak the language, so they're just going in, finding subluxation, boom, 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 boom. All those people benefit, or they wouldn't do it. And so as far as assembly line, I'm all right with that. I'm really okay with that because I think more people should get adjusted. And as far as the specificity, you need to be specific. You need to figure out what's going on. You need to figure out what area to adjust. If I'm going to adjust your spine, way different than adjusting somebody else's spine because of your different spinal conditions. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to adjust a baby, like yesterday, a five-day-old baby, well, why? Why should I get a baby adjusted? Well, and I said to the mother right away, which breast does he like better? Well, he likes the right one because he's not turning left. We held the baby upside down. I said he should turn left. He turned left. We did our little temperature gauge, one side versus the other. He was 2 degrees off. We did a very mild adjustment to the atlas, which you couldn't even see that I even adjusted the baby. I felt it just move her into place. I picked up the baby. It was perfectly straight. I did the temperature gauge again. Even. Done. I could do that 1,000 times just like that. Boom, 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 boom. So specificity, key. Super, super specific. Somebody said yesterday, well, you guys manipulate a bunch of spines. Remember, I said, I don't manipulate anything. I adjust. Manipulation is different. And we may manipulate a scaphoid because that's really not not adjusting a subluxation. It occludes a foramen and all that if you want to be really specific on details of the adjustment. But chiropractors adjust by specifically using the spinous processes, the transverse processes of the spine to remove subluxation. So adjusting is different than just giving a gross manipulation like those things on YouTube with the ring dinger pulling up things. There's no specificity there at all. You're coming in and you're removing joints. Yeah, you're getting motion to the joint. Is it wrong? No. Is it chiropractic? No. I like to answer myself questions again. But I really
You don't need me.
Yeah, I do need you. You, my thought-provoking research doing, and people say, well, is that rehearsed? No. And it's beautiful that it's not, because if you really love chiropractic and you really believe in what you do and you have the confidence in chiropractic, you know, you can ask me anything, and I'll, if I don't know it, I'll certainly tell you. But I think specificity is huge, and I think that we really need to be specific on where we're adjusting and how we're adjusting, and maybe not adjust too much, and maybe adjust just the right amount, and I think that's very key. But the assembly line, bring it on.
Do you have a set of numbers that you work within, and then from there you're able to determine if a person's spine is creating pain or problems?
A certain amount of numbers. What do you mean by that?
You know, when you do you have the human body and the spine, does it have numbers that should fall into conformity or are normal for the average person?
Like curves and stuff, yes.
There we go.
Like if there's a scoliosis more than, I believe, 10 degrees, then they say it's a scoliosis. Any lateral curvature of the spine looking from front to back or back to front is a scoliosis. We see a lot of curvatures in spines and compensatory curves. Curves caused from different things. Could be from a spinal anomaly. Could be from a lack of formation of a vertebrae, like a hemivertebra. Could be coming from a lot of things. So we have to figure out where that scoliosis is coming from. As far as the cervical curve, the 60-degree curve in the lateral direction of foramina lordosis, we see a lot of decreased lordosis because of car accidents and slips and falls and computer use and text necking and all those things. So we see normal. I don't use specific numbers and say you have to get back to so many numbers to be normal, because I'm not playing that game. I'm not kind of trying to scare somebody into saying, oh, well, you need to get back to 10%, 10 degrees because you're at 12 degrees. I don't do that. Some people do, and that's great, and I have no problem. If you have the ability to actually analyze and do those things, it requires more and more x-rays, which is fine. I love x-ray, and it's not that bad to take x-rays on a regular basis to see how you're doing. But by regular, is that once a year? Is that as required by Medicare, or is that every 6 months, or is that, it's not every 3 months, I know that. So we unless there's a fracture, right? Unless we have a trauma. Mm-hmm. So it all depends, but specific numbers, we have an idea of what it should look like and what it shouldn't look like, and we want to get you more back towards normal. But I'm not going to say I'm going to perfectly straighten your spine either. I'm not going to say, well, you've come to me after 60 years and you have these curves, I'm going to change that and we're going to get you back straight. We don't do that either.
As a chiropractor, are you working from a person's past up?
Always. Whether it's that 5-day-old with the birthing process that may have subluxated that atlas coming out of the canal because it was sunny side up and then it went flipped over at the last minute and came out with the arm on the face and all that. So was there a little bit of not perfect? Well, it was a perfect birth because he came out great and he's a beautiful little child. So what was the process? That was a little bit of a trauma in a longer birth process because he was not flipped. So when he was flipping at that last second, maybe he had a little subluxation in the atlas. You know, you try to get through a little thing, and or somebody that comes to me at 90 years old for the first time, and they say, "Yeah, I've had these problems for years." A guy yesterday, 77 years old. Yeah, it's been going. I haven't seen your brother, and I haven't seen you in like 5-7 years. And it's been going on for the last few years. I've been just, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting 5 years of pain and problems and symptoms? But what really brought me in was my toe. The toe was the straw that broke the poor man's back.
Yes.
That said, you know, I finally got to go in there. So we actually adjusted a toe. We adjusted a talus bone on the foot. We adjusted other things because he had those signs and symptoms of inflammation and irritation of joints. And we adjusted those. We got to the cause of those problems. So it's always working with the history. It's always working with the past. No matter if it's 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, we're always working with a person's history and spinal conditions and nervous system conditions.
What happens after you locate the weaknesses within the spine?
Ooh, we adjust.
Okay,
I love that. So when we find what is one lady was laying down yesterday, and the mother was there, and she said, "Oh, look, the hump on your back is less. I can actually see a less hump on the right side due to scoliosis curvatures and due to misalignment and poor posture. She's getting better." So where we find those weaknesses or what would be the strengths of one side versus the other. I had to think of the opposite of a weakness. So we see those compensations, and we adjust those areas where they need to be adjusted, specifically getting into that area and allowing health to come out and that life force from above down is. Can you believe Tony Robbins stole our life force?
No.
Yeah, that's that. We use that in chiropractic all the time. We use life force, innate intelligence. That's nerve flow. That's what we use. And his new book, Life Force.
I got to get that book too. Is the world going through a thought crisis right now? And are you concerned that the stress, tension, anxiety, fear, worry, and anger held in the mind long enough will manifest itself in the body someday soon as a physical ailment?
Absolutely. I don't know why I got stuck on that word. Fear. I was hoping you said fear because
I think
we've lived 2 years in fear. More than two years. Has it been two?
Just over now, two years now.
2 years in fear. And we have this fear of getting sick. Nobody is, well, we are. There are other people out there now. Build up your internal environment. Build up the inside. Have help from within, and then not have fear. We had a young lady she's got six kids. She's a fantastic mother. The kids are the most behaved, well-behaved children we have in our practice. They're wonderful. And she had fear. Well, maybe my baby has this. Maybe my baby has. I said, "Would you stop? Because you're having fear." Whoa! Stop! You're doing everything right. What is causing that anxiety? But the fear the environment has been in for the last couple of years is absolutely incredible, and it does decrease your resistance. It does put you in a high sympathetic state, and that fight or flight state is not where we need to be. Look at me. I'm all getting geared. I'm
yes,
in fight or I'm fighting right now. We need to be in a higher parasympathetic state. We need to have that better heart rate variability. We need to have relaxation. We need to have a decrease in sympathetics. And in order to do that, we know that adjustments help that. And we know that that decreases stress. We know that the decrease in fear has that because thoughts, traumas, and toxins are causing subluxation. And thoughts are one of them. Thoughts are things. And I listened to a nice little book. It says, "You're not your thoughts, you're your actions," which I really like.
Yes.
Because thoughts become things because thoughts work into action. And I really do think that the fear, the anxiety, the stress over the last couple of years is decreasing patients' or people's ability to be well.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. Our conversation with Dr. Kersey continues after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, which do we reorganize first, the mind or the body, for better health?
The mind. I think that we reorganize the nervous system, which will incorporate the mind and then the body. And I think we have to be doing all those things at the same time. But there is the brain-body connection. But I think as far as chiropractic goes, we go to somebody was talking about a health fair yesterday. Dawn in our office was talking about a health fair. I said, I don't do health fairs. You go to a health fair, you see the spinal bones on the table of a chiropractor.
Yes.
And we should have a network, a neural network behind a chiropractic table or whatever at a health fair, because that's what it's all about. It's all about the nervous system. Without our nervous system, we're not functioning correctly. I love when people get into a car accident and the insurance adjuster says, well, you had a soft tissue injury. Well, I had a nervous system injury. Is that soft tissue? Is that not the most important sacred tissue of the body? So I think that when we're working with mind, body, what comes first? I always think that the mind or the brain, the spinal cord, and the nervous system should be number one, and then the physical will come after mm-hmm. that, the body. But it's super connected.
Is the disorder that runs rampant through our society and world, is it a disorder that we internalize, in fact, creating disease within us?
Which disorder?
You know, just the
lack of order.
Lack of order.
The lack of order. The lack of coordination. The lack of adaptability. Yeah, I think, you know, the real pandemic, epidemic is subluxation. There's a lot of people out there with misalignments that are causing pressure, which are causing decreased brain function, fog, whatever else there is. There could be a healthier society under chiropractic care. And I think that's why we're doing this. We're trying to get that information out there, because it's not just about low back pain. It's the proper order of the systems. If we have our systems in order, because we know, if you run a business, what do you need? You need proper systems.
Yes,
right? You need systems in place to run a business. Well, our body needs proper systems. And if our systems are messed up because we're having subluxation, we're not organized, and our body can't adapt and coordinate, then we're gonna lose that ability to function at a higher state, just like a business would.
One last question. We've got about 20 seconds. Is the body not producing any illnesses the most abundant health a person could have?
Oh, lack of infirmity or disease is not health. So that's Dorland's Medical Dictionary. So it's everything working together. So just because you don't have a disease doesn't mean you're perfectly healthy.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number?
569-9355.
Dr. Kersey's going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversation Unlimited. For now, I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.